Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 27. And we'll start in verse 26 and read down through a few verses here. If you'll just follow along, I'll read them and you can follow along in your Bible there. That would be great. Matthew 27, 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. You'll drop down to verse 31. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. What does the cross of Christ mean? What does a cross mean? I mean, you know, we have one above my head on the wall up there. There's a cross. Maybe you've seen a cross on a necklace or something. Maybe someone has a cross. Or maybe you have a cross in a piece of artwork or something like that. I must say that it's a lot more than a decoration piece. It means a lot more than a charm on the end of a necklace. It's more than an earring, maybe a lapel pin. Again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these. It's definitely not something to worship, though. So, what is the significance of the cross? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue into the message. Heavenly Father, I need the help of the Spirit of God tonight. I need, please, your help mentally, physically, spiritually. I don't want this to be any, I don't want anything here said to be about me, or I want it all to honor you. And I pray the same for those that are listening, and we're honored that so many guests would come. Those that are joining us by way of live stream, we're glad they're with us as well. We're so humbled that people would come and be a part of this meeting. But what we're really humbled by, Father, is that you would allow your Son to go to this cross that we just read about, that we might have hope in eternity. Please, Lord, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice that is still unsure of heaven being their eternal home, I pray that in these next few moments, your Holy Spirit of God would touch their heart, and they would not become a Baptist. They would become someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned a moment ago so many things about the cross and what it pictures in all of our lives. And yet, the cross goes much deeper than these things. From the time that Jesus was 12 years old, obviously knowing it well before that in his deity, but imagine, if you will, being a carpenter and working with wood and knowing that someday your final physical dwelling place would be nailed to two pieces of wood. I wonder what it was like every time Jesus heard a hammer go down, you know? Sometimes I think about these things. I don't know why, but I do. When he was a young person, I mean, working around wood, and I wonder what must have been going through his mind. I wonder what it was like every time he saw a lamb, knowing that John would later refer to him as the Lamb of God. Behold, John said twice, behold the Lamb of God. which taketh away the sin of the world. I wonder what it was like when he saw that lamb. He was reminded, I'm sure, of the cross when he worked with that wood. One day he would give his life. He would pay the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me, that we might have hope. A few things I'd like to give you about this cross, if you will. We're going to turn to a few passages of Scripture. Don't get caught up in getting lost in the Bible if that happens. It's okay. Number one, the cross was the will of God for Jesus Christ. It was the will of God. If you want to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, it was the will of God. What does it mean? It means it's the will of God. It's the will of God. Look what it says in Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God. You see, everything that God wanted Jesus to do, he did. Everything and every task that God wanted Jesus to perform, he did. The final one being the cross. The cross was not simply some tragedy in history. Although it was a tragedy and that the innocent died for the guilty. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but everyone in this room tonight, I want you to know this, and I'm saying this kindly, but you are, and I am, we are, excuse me, guilty. And Jesus Christ obeyed the will of the Father for the guilty. And yet Jesus Christ was innocent, sinless, tempted in every way that you have been tempted or I have been tempted. And the Bible says, yet without sin. It was not a mistake, by the way. Jesus dying on the cross was not a mistake. Again, it was the will of God for Jesus. It was not something that God had not planned. It wasn't like when in the Garden of Eden, in the sovereignty of God, this is hard, you know, sometimes for even, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it, but in the sovereignty of God, as they're in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve both sin, it wasn't like God all of a sudden looked down from heaven and said, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? For see, God is omniscient. What does that mean? It means God is all-knowing. Amazingly enough, God knew you were going to be here tonight. And God knew I was going to be here tonight. That's a miracle. But that's the God we're talking about tonight. This was the will of God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And since Jesus came to do the will of God, then the cross was the will of God for Jesus. Luke would write this in Luke's gospel, in Luke 22:42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What's happening in this time? What's happening is Jesus is hours away from his crucifixion. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's talking to his Father, and he's saying, as Luke wrote there, he said, if there's any way to take this cup, what cup was he talking about? He wasn't talking about a literal cup of liquid. He was talking about the cup of the wrath of God. Now, we might say tonight, God is love. And would that be true? Yes, it would be. But God is also just. And so what was happening here was Jesus, knowing what was coming, he says, if it's possible that we let this cup of wrath pass from me. However, he says, nevertheless, not my will, Father, but thine be done. When man sinned, he stepped out of the perfect will of God. When I sinned, I stepped out of the perfect will of God. This was the will of God. Number one, this was the will of God, the cross, the two pieces of wood, was the will of God for the Son of God. Jesus could have called more than 12 legions of angels to help him. It was within his power to do so. But to do that would have taken him out of the will of God. Jesus said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" So the cross was the will of God for the Lord Jesus. Number two, the cross is the warning to us of God's judgment for sin. It's a warning. It's kind of one of those things that we don't want to just drive past a bridge out sign. You understand what I'm saying? Bridge out and we just keep driving. That's probably kind of foolish, isn't it? Because if we don't pay attention to the sign and the warning and we just keep on driving, it's not going to end too well. The cross is a warning. The warning is this is God's judgment on sin. And yes, he did judge sin that day, by the way. Once and for all, sin was judged. Your sin, my sin, sins of the past, sins of the present, and sin must be paid for. And God poured out his wrath, as we said a moment ago, God poured out his wrath that day on his son. It is a warning of the judgment of God for sin. If you're turning with me in these passages of scripture, would you turn with me to the book of Romans? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. It's very close by Matthew. It was a warning. And so tonight, as we're in this meeting, and again, we're glad that you're here, I want you to know the cross is a warning to you. I say this by the authority of the Bible and compassionate as I can. It is a warning to you individually. It's not just a warning to this whole crowd. You know, sometimes in a big crowd, we can just come in, slip in, slip out, and we're done. But I want you to know that God knows exactly where you are, spiritually speaking, tonight. I have no idea where you are. But a holy God does. And when you look at the cross, it should be a warning to us. And that warning is found here in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Why did Jesus die on the cross? We'll get to this in just a few minutes. Ultimately, he died on the cross, number one, because it's God's will. Number two, because it's a warning. And we're coming to some more things. But here this verse is telling us that the penalty of sin is death. Mankind sins because he is a sinner. He is not a sinner because he sins. What am I saying? We are a sinner by nature first. We have three children. They're all grown and out of the home. That's a sad thing. Happened too fast. Each one of them were born. We never sat down with them and said, "Okay, Caleb, just so you know, this is lesson number one on how to sin." What is sin, okay? Anything we do against God, violate God's word, God's law. Well, there's one verse in the Bible, there's many, but there's one that says, "Children, obey your parents," those of you that know it. We didn't have to sit our son down and say, "Okay, this is lesson number one on how to disobey your mom." He figured it out real quick. Why? Because his dad figured it out real quick when I was that age. And so did you. The point is, we don't commit sin because we're a sinner. In other words, it's our nature. It's who we are. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be helped by what God is doing here. Man is therefore a sinner by his nature first and by his practice second. But it's a warning. God judged Adam and Eve for their sin. You can read that for yourself in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. God judged the earth with a great flood in Noah's time because of man's sin. God judged his own people and their rebellion and placed them in bondage to the Babylonians because of their rebellion. God judges sin. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We're not going to just live this life of 70 and maybe 80 or 90 or whatever. I saw a man preaching today, 91 years of age. Boy, he had a lot of life left in him. 91. And I just praise God for one day. I praise God for today. But I may not have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. So be thankful for today. But also, if I'm not ready for eternity, then I better look at the cross as something more than just a beautiful decoration. It's a warning. God judged wicked men and women for their sins against the people of God. God judged the false prophets of Baal for their idolatry. God judged Herod for putting himself in the place of God. God judged Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Spirit. And on it goes. Hebrews chapter 2, toward the back of your Bible. Remember, the cross, it was the will of God for Jesus. The cross, it's a warning. It's a warning. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? I'm just going to live my life, Pastor. I'm just going to live my life however I want. It's been fine up until this point. I'm X amount of years old, and I'm just going to keep living it however I want. And que sera, sera. And yes, and one day I'm going to die, and that's just going to be the end of it. But the problem with that line of thinking is you're not going to die and be the end of it. That's just going to be the end of your body. But your soul is going to live on. And my soul is going to live on. Yes, the body's not getting any younger. So glad we can have that soul rejuvenated and revived in the things of God. But I would warn you, as we look at the cross, sin must be judged. I would warn you against thinking that we can just live this life however we want and everything's going to just come out fine. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Moving on, the cross, number one, was the will of God for Jesus. Number two, the cross is a warning to man of God's judgment on sin. But number three, the cross is the witness of God's great love for man. Don't miss this. The cross is the witness of God's great love for man. So to the same time you see the cross and you see the judgment of God, right away, you can also see the love of God. It's amazing how God works in this stuff. John 3:16, the Bible says, maybe the most famous verse in your Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him to be crucified. So when I see the cross, I don't just see the judgment of God. I also see that God loves me. And can I encourage you with that message tonight as well? Right after saying that God is going to judge your sin if you don't turn to him or turn to coming, we'll keep going on this lesson. But we also know that God does love us. And by the way, we cannot get God to love us more than he already does. It's not a matter of I want to live a really, really, really good life so that God will love me more and more and more. No, you can't get God to love you any more than he already does. The agape love that we were talking about earlier that God has for you is not contingent upon your or my behavior. He loves us in spite of us. I say amen to that for me. I don't know about you. He loves us in spite of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the judgment, what did we look at earlier? The wages of sin is death. That's the judgment. But on the other side of that cross, when Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you and for me. We look at the cross and we think, God loves me. On your lowest day, Christian, you better look at the cross and say, I'm just trying to challenge you and encourage you. I've had a few low days in my life, and so have you, but there's no day lower than looking up at the cross and seeing what Jesus did for you and how Jesus suffered for you and how Jesus said it is finished for you, because God loves you. And there's no greater message that we can deliver to this sin-cursed world than to tell them that while, yes, God is going to judge sin, we also tell them that God loves you. And he proved it there on the cross. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. God proved his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle Paul, I just quoted part of it. I want to read part of Romans 5, verse 6, if you'll just listen carefully. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Did you notice who Christ died for? The ungodly. So that means if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm not a very bad guy. I'm not that bad. Don't lose sight of what we're reading. Because we have to recognize that we have to recognize why we need Christ. The need is great. Notice what he said. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Next verse. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. And then verse 8, I quoted it earlier. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It is difficult to find anyone who would be willing to die for someone who is a good man. And it would be impossible for anyone willing to lay down their life for an evil man. But Jesus laid down his life for the ungodly. What is Paul saying? He's saying, I have to recognize that I am an ungodly man before I can recognize that Jesus Christ died for me. If I think I'm pretty good, if I think, well, because I haven't done these things, I'm okay, that's not how it works in the sight of a holy God. Because the minute I came out of my mother's womb, I was ungodly. As we said, no lessons had to be learned on how to sin and how not to sin. I'm so thankful that he died for the ungodly. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down his life. When we see the cross, we see the love of God. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God. So number one, the cross was the will of God. Number two, the cross is a warning of God's judgment on sin. Number three, the cross is a witness of the love of God for you. Praise God for his love. And lastly, the cross. We're talking about this wooden instrument. What does it mean? What is it all about? The cross is the only way to heaven. Now, it's not the cross itself, but it's who died on the cross. If you'll turn to John 14. John 14. The Christ of the cross, maybe would be a better way to say it. The Christ of the cross is the only way to heaven. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? Now, what we're going to read here in just a minute is a verse that maybe you've read, but maybe you've never read it before. And that's great if it's your first time. But what we're going to read here is going to help us, clear the desk. I don't know what your desk looks like if you have a desk. Okay, I have a desk. It needs a little clearing, okay? I have a stack here. I can see it right now. I just saw it this morning. I've got knickknacks everywhere on that desk. And it needs to be cleared, cleaned, and then maybe organized a little bit. It's not a mess because I know where everything's at, okay? How many of you agree with that? It's not a mess because you know where everything is. Okay, good. All right. Got a few of those. Yeah, we got to quit procrastinating, though. But this verse, can we use either one of these mics, guys, up there? Don't worry, I'm not going too far. This verse that we're about to read clears the religious desk. It clears it right off. I don't know what's on your religious desk, but this verse is going to clear it off and make it pretty clean. Because when you clear everything off of the religious desk, you're only going to put one item on it. I say religious in quotes, but so if you have on a religious, I'm not saying this to be unkind or I'm not saying to be critical of anyone or anything, but honestly, if we have a religious desk, it's going to be very clean because there's only going to be one person on there because Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. We have a baptismal tank back here. Praise God for the picture of baptism and what it is, and we could talk to you more about that, but that's not the way to the Father. Some people, when you ask them if they're saved, the first thing they tell you is about their baptism. I wonder about that. Because that's not the way to the Father. That's the way if that's your dependence, you just got wet. Whether you got dunked, sprinkled, or whatever, that's not the way to the Father. I didn't say this. Jesus said it. This building is a church building, but it's just wood, timber, and you know, drywall and all that. There's no way when you came in that door back there that all of a sudden you became a Christian because you walked into church. So glad you came. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The cross, the Christ of the cross is the only way. Now, many people don't like that very narrow message, but that is the message of the Bible. We make no apology for the message of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, just going to read a little portion of it. Hebrews 9 and 22, at the end of the verse says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Forgiveness, if you will. That's why this cross was so important. Christ is the only way. His shed blood for your sin and mine cleansed us if we apply it. If you have applied it, praise the Lord. You'll never lose what God gave you. If you received it by faith, you'll never lose that. It's yours forever. We believe in an eternal security. I did nothing to get saved. Therefore, I do nothing to lose it. Jesus Christ made it simple. Yet Satan makes it so complicated. No one in here died for the sins of mankind. The cross of Christ, number one, was the will of God for Jesus. It was a warning. I hope tonight that we'll heed the warning on God's judgment. But it was also a witness. Down through time, God said, I love you. And he said it there at the cross. And also the Christ of the cross is the only way to heaven.